you.
Well, good morning. We're there. It's good to see everyone. We're gonna use the music stand today, so we're gonna get tall here because I am tall. That's probably too tall. All right, and it didn't fall apart. It's good to see everyone. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Huh? Pretty cool. What an awesome season. I hope and pray that you all had awesome times with your family as you have celebrated Jesus, not just because it was Christmas, because he is worthy to be celebrated. Amen? Amen. And I hope you are in anticipation for today's service. Can you believe it? 2017 is over. That's almost, right? I know. I'm pretty literal. Almost over. I remember I had a moment. I don't consider myself old yet. Good. Amen. And I hope you don't either. But I had a moment as I was thinking about 2018, and it was when I was in elementary school, and there was a story, and it was talking about the year 2018, and I remember as a young man going, oh, I don't even know if I'm going to make it to that year because that's so far away and so long, and I'm going to be an old man when 2018 comes. It's probably the end of the world. It's probably going to come before that, and here I am, and here we are, and we are living in the day and the age of electric cars, of cars that can drive themselves. Almost, and it's unbelievable that here we are. But I hope that you're excited for the things that God wants to do in your heart and in your life and in your family. I just want to pray this morning before we get going. I also want to pray this morning for our service, but also for Stephen Kerner. He fell this morning in our parking lot. And he's on his way to the hospital. And so we just want to pray that God would do a work in his heart and in his body. And Father, we do just come to you this morning. Father, I thank you for today. Father, that today is a day that you've made. We rejoice in the fact that you are good. We rejoice in the fact that we are alive today and that you've put us on this planet for such a time as this to pursue your plans and your purposes. Father, I ask today as we meet, as we gather together, that we would encounter you. Father, it's our desire that we would walk out of this place differently than when we came in, because we believe that you are a God of the impossible, that you are a God that is alive and that is active and that can change our hearts. And so we look to you today to do that. Father, I specifically lift up Stephen Kerner to you. God, we just ask that you would do a miracle in his body. Father, that there would be no side effects, that there would be no serious injury. Father, that you would even take the swelling down in his head, Father, and that there would just be alignment in his body. Father, we declare that you are our healer and our provider. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it is so fun. Last time that we met together, it was an evening service. We had our Christmas Eve service in the middle of what are you, Snowmageddon 2017. I tell you, wasn't that white stuff awesome? I loved having a white Christmas. I do think with the Lord, though, when I get up there, I'm going to talk to him about, I was emailing some guys this week, and I said last year it seemed like it only snowed on Saturdays, right before Sunday morning. So we had to figure out ways with snow, and it didn't snow all day. And then, you know, 30 minutes before we're supposed to come up here to this winter wonderland here in Maple Valley, and it starts snowing. And so I'm going to ask God about that. But at the same time, I'm so grateful for the snow and that we were able to have a white Christmas. But it is good to see you this morning. And I, again, just pray that you all had a safe holiday. Pastor Ryan, your new daughter is not here today, though, is she?
No, sorry.
I mean, he told me he was going to be here. I was really excited to see him. But I was probably more excited to see his wife and that new baby of his. And so we're just excited for you. Maybe next time we'll see him. Well, I am so excited for the message this morning. As we get to talk and seek the Lord one last time in 2017 together. And, you know, looking back, what a year 2017 was. Amen. I think for all of us, I know many of you experienced a lot of great high moments in 2017, right? Many of you, some of you welcomed new family members. Some of you experienced some personal growth. Many of you encountered the Lord in many ways. I don't know about you, but for me, 2017 was a year, I'd say, of stretching, where the Lord would say, I want to stretch you. I want to, and a word for stretch, which we don't like it, is the word grow, right? So the Lord says, I want to grow you by stretching you. And sometimes we say, God, I don't know if I like that way to grow, because stretching is painful sometimes, and it hurts, and it's not comfortable. But what a year 2017 was. Every year, as I think about ending a year and beginning a new year, whether it was a good year or a bad year or a hard year or an easy year, I'm so grateful for God's faithfulness. Amen? In the midst of everything that has gone on, good and bad, God is faithful. And I pray that you experience his faithfulness this last year as you think back and as you look back at what God has done. Before I go any further, I do want to. I just saw Josh here in the front row. Josh McLean is home. He's in a discipleship program in Canada. But Josh, it's so good to see you this morning. So welcome. It's good to see you, man. That's awesome. Sometimes the front row goes over my vision. And so I'm glad I saw you, but welcome. You know, I was thinking this week, and I love to read about New Year's resolutions. And here's what I've come to know about New Year's resolutions. No one says they make them, but statistics say over 70% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. And I always have said, oh, I don't make those. I just live. But the truth is, I do think about a new year, new goals, new resolve, new ideas, right? A place to maybe start fresh of things that I haven't done in this past year. I think for many people, when you talk about a new year, you talk about making improvements, right? Many of you are thinking about the things in your head that you've bounced off. I want to do this differently, or I want to focus on this, or I want to make this change. A lot of times it has to do with maybe personal goals or different things like that. I know for me it's a time to maybe address weaknesses in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this very well. I want to maybe do better. Anyone do that with their when it comes to resolutions and thinking about the new year? Maybe soft points that in my life that I want to change. You know, and I read an article this week, and it says that 70% of Americans make resolutions for the new year, but less than 50% of those people at the end of the year are not satisfied with the results, right? And again, the short answer would probably be, well, because they probably didn't really follow through with what they wanted to do, and so they're no different. But I thought it was pretty interesting, and I thought, Lord, why is that? Why do we make goals for things, but then at the end of the year, you know, we're not satisfied with them? And it just got me on a journey this week. And I was reading this article, and it said for the past 10 years in America, that's where we live, the number one New Year's resolution was to lose weight. Get healthy, we'll call it. Okay, lose weight, get healthy. And many of you are going, you know, been there, done that, preacher, and I'm like, I hear you. You know, my wife and I were talking about health goals, and we were just saying, man, we would like to do things differently with our health in 2018. And for 10 years in America, that has been the number one goal. Back when I used to go to the gym, back in the day, a few years ago, Last time I went, then they, oh, it's been 492 days since we've seen you. I'm like, thanks for that reminder, right? God bless technology and computers that can track all that. But the gym, it's always packed for the first 2 weeks of January, and then it's back to normal. And so when I was going, I wouldn't go because it was too crowded, and then I thought, I'll go once no one's here again. And that seemed to work for me. But they said in this article that for the past 2 years, there's been a new champion when it comes to New Year's resolutions. So losing weight or getting healthy was no longer number one, but it was now a close second, and it was really close. But the number one resolution in America for the past 2 years, according to this article, was to be a good person. So, I mean, that's good that people are saying, I want to be a good person. Or you could phrase it maybe, I want to do good in 2018. That seems like a pretty good goal, right? Better than the other option, I want to be bad in 2018, right? So I'll take the be good option. But I got thinking about that. And the title of my message today is The Search for Good. Because if that's the number one resolution when it comes to Americans wanting to do things differently, I thought, well, we better talk about it, and we better, if we really want to be good, then we better find out what that means to be good and to do good. Because again, that is the number one resolution. And here's some things we need to understand. I believe God wants us to be people of resolve. Okay, that's a good quality in your life for you to have, and a good quality for me to have, is that we can be people who can make decisions, who can have determination, who can be forced and faced with issues and come to some sort of resolve, right? If I am a man that's not very good at solving problems, I'm going to have lots of problems in my life. Right, that's one of the things I want to be good at in my own life, is even talking to my wife with our kids, is we want to come to some resolve with our children if there's issues in their life, and we don't want them just to have lingering issues that are going to carry with them forever, right? We want them to be young men of resolve, and that's something God wants for us. You know, there's a scripture in Matthew, and it says that we're supposed to be people of our word, right? Let your yes be yes and your right? Let your no be no, right? He wants his kids to be people of determination. Resolve can be defined as following a course of action, right? It's okay to have a course of action, amen? Because the other option would be to just exist, right? So we want to have a course of action. Resolve means firmness of purpose or intent. Okay, another scripture says that plans fail for lack of wisdom. Right, so having a resolve, a plan, is going to cause you to be successful. Okay, so it's easy. There's no disagreement when it comes to the definition of resolve, right? We all kind of understand what resolve means. Unfortunately, when I go to define good, we're going to have some issues, right? So when I start talking about what is the definition of good, we're going to have some disagreement. We're going to have some butting of the heads. We're going to have a lot of people with a different definition of what is good. I think we all can agree that good can be defined as something desired or approved of. Okay, but again, that's such a general definition. What is good? Here's the thing about good. Good is so hard to define, because good can be so situational, right? Depends on what side of the country you live on. Could be helping you define what good is. Okay, think about that for a minute. What is good? You know, a lot of our definition of good can be based on our cultural norms, or maybe some of the experiences that have shaped us, right? That's going to help define our definition of good. When I was reading this and researching it, they say that most people can agree that treating other people well can be defined as good. So that's one thing we can probably agree on, right? That treating other people well is good. But in some European cultures, it can be seen as a good thing to prevent pregnancies. Right? They think that can be a good thing, and so they have contraceptives and different things, and that is a celebrated thing in their culture. But if you go to some Middle Eastern cultures, preventing pregnancy can, at some places, be punished by death. So how could something in a European culture be seen as a good thing, but in another culture, it's like looked down upon and then some? Right, and again, it's the same word, but it's a good thing. Okay, again, I'm trying to kind of get your wheels spinning a little bit this morning. You know, I was reading this article, and it was talking about a man that was convicted for murder. And his family at his sentencing said, but he was a good man. Well, I don't think on his, you know, his bio is going to be, you know, John Smith, the murderer. Oh, he was a good man. He just, you know, had a bad moment, right? His choices will forever define his character. Because, again, you can't say, oh, he was just a good man, because it messes with our mind, because we don't think murder is good. Okay, so a lot of how we define good is really based on what do we hold as to value in our hearts, right? It's based on value. What do you value? Most people, when they are asked the question, how do you get to heaven, the number one answer is, well, I don't really know, but I think you just be a good person. Okay? That's a standard answer. I've heard that many times. Before I came to know Jesus, I thought that. Well, you be a good person. I don't know how to do it. I was talking to someone who doesn't know Jesus, and they said, well, I think I do a lot of good, so you think I have a chance? Because he knew I was a pastor, and I'm like, well, yeah, you have a chance, because God has a plan for your life, not because, you know, you do good. But most people would say, if you ask them, well, how do I get to heaven? They would say, well, be a good person. But unfortunately, the definition of good is so vague that anything then can qualify for being good, because we don't have a definition. So this morning, I want to get God's perspective on what does God say is good. Does that sound like a good plan this morning? Because, and this is kind of discouraging, because I'm telling you, God wants us to be people of resolve, that we want to be people who do good in 2018. But the Bible in Romans 3, it says this. It says, all have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Okay, God, we want to be good, but your word, which we believe is true, just tells us we have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. This isn't talking about the unsaved people. This is talking about humanity. Okay, it's talking about the church. So we're going to have a hard time being good when we look at this scripture. Well, how are we supposed to be good? Another scripture in the Bible, it's King David talking, and he says that on his best day, it's still filthy. He says, and his righteousness is still filthy compared to God. And so how are we supposed to be good in 2018 when we can't be good on our own? Let's continue. Me and my Christian faith, this is what I believe. I believe by nature, I am a sinner. Okay, no one had to teach me to say no to my mom some 30-something years ago. Okay, by nature, I have a nature that is bent towards sin. Okay, I am not going to do good on my own because I have a sin nature. Okay, and I needed a God that was going to come and fill the gap, right, from sin to holiness. Okay, and God sent his son Jesus, right, to bridge the gap so that I would have a chance. Okay, many of us believe that gospel in a nutshell. Okay, and through Jesus, I know that he is my only hope of heaven. Okay, I can't do good. I can't follow this, follow that. The only hope that we have today of heaven is the person of Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our salvation. He is our answer. Amen? That is it. Okay, we cannot do good. We cannot walk enough elderly across the street in order to get enough merit badges. The only hope we have is Jesus. Because again, the goodness theory, well, I'm just going to do good, okay, it just boils down to a list of do's and don'ts. But without a standard, we're lost. We're confused. Because the things I might call good, the things my generation might call good, the older generation called bad 20 years ago. The things that my kids' generation call good, man, I wouldn't even think about doing some of those things. And so I want to look at what the Lord says about what is good. And I want to look at two scriptures this morning. The first one I want to look at is in the Old Testament. Okay, and I'm just going to read it and then we'll continue. But it says this in Micah 6, verses 8. It says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Okay, I love this scripture. This is actually one of my favorite scriptures and definitely one of my favorite Old Testament scriptures. I think I like it so much because it's very easy to understand. I'm a very ABC type of person. I love lists. I love to know order. I do this, then I do this, then I do that. Anyone else like that? Right? I love that because I can understand it. Okay, so I love this scripture because it says, what is good and what does God want? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. I can do that, right? I can do justice, I can do kindness, and I can do humility, usually, sometimes. Okay, I can do those things. And I think a lot of people have said they've made a gospel out of this scripture. Well, if I just do those things, I'm gonna be all right. But again, I would want to take it this morning one step further, because at the end of the day, that's a list. At the end of the day, it's not about following A, B, and C, but it's so much more. Okay, the second scripture I want to look at is a scripture, and it's describing a man. And it's actually describing the life of Barnabas. And if you don't remember, at the beginning of December, we did a message on Barnabas. Okay, and it described Barnabas as this in Acts 11, verses 24. It says, "For he was a good man." Okay, again, that's what we're going for. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So here we see not just some attributes that are good, we see God labeling a man as good. It's not just do this and do that and you're good. It's he was good and he was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And if you look at the life of Barnabas, I think he understand what his commandment from the Lord was to do. Okay, and the commandment that Barnabas, I think, captured so well in his life was the same commandment that you and I are called to walk in. And we can find this in Mark. And it says this, "The most important commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second commandment is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these two." So if you study the life of Barnabas, you will find that he was a man that was passionate about God and that he was passionate about making other people great. Okay, and then the Bible says that he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. So this morning, the root of our goodness, the root of us being good, has everything to do with the relationship that we have with God and then how we treat other people. That is the very foundation. If you want to be good, you have to have a relationship with God, and you have to view others as God sees them. And you have to love them as you would love yourself. Amen? Okay, a lot of us know that. But the fruit of our goodness, okay, because it's one thing to view people that way, but the fruit of us being good is going to be how we live that out. How we then treat, how we then think, how then we then act towards those other people. Okay, so there's a root of being good, and then there's a fruit of being good. Okay, the fruit is what comes out of the root. What's a reflection of the root? And I'm going to trust this morning that we all know that we're called to love God, and we all know we're supposed to treat humanity well. We're supposed to treat our neighbors well. I'm going to trust that this morning, maybe assume that. If you don't know that, we can talk afterwards. But I'm going to trust that we all can agree on those things this morning. So when we come to Jesus, it is more than a list of do's and of don'ts. Okay, I can't go to my sons and say, well, guys, if you just do this, this, and this, and this, you'll be saved. Because it all starts with a relationship with God. It's more than a list of do's and don'ts. But when we come to the Lord, I believe he's after three things. He's after, number one, a change of heart. He's after a change in your lifestyle. And he's after a change in how you view yourself with God and with others. I believe that he's after those three things when we come to him. He wants your heart to change, he wants your life to change, and he wants you to view yourself in a right way when it comes to him and when it comes to others. So let's look at our scripture in Micah this morning. Because when I say to do justice, okay, remember the scripture? What is good, what is required to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Okay, so let's talk about justice for a minute. Now, I would say at the core of who I am, I'm kind of a justice person. Like, if there's something wrong, it needs to be righted, and there you go. And I think a lot of males are probably wired that way. We're like, if something's broke, fix it, right? If there's something wrong, make it right. I think a lot of us are wired with that justice bone where we like when justice is served. There's something about me. We love to see the bad guy get caught. We love to see righteousness prevail. I think that's part of the way that we were created. But to do justice talks about a change of heart. Because in order to see justice happen in our world, you have to have a heart change. Because there is a big difference between God's justice and man's justice. Okay, I hope we understand that. That man's justice, just because we can see justice in the flesh, does not mean that that's God's justice. Okay, there is a huge difference between what man says is justice and what God says is justice. And the danger happens when we start to put man's justice and call that God's justice. Okay, we've got to be really careful because, again, we're wired a certain way to expect certain justices that maybe God has a different definition of what that looks like. So there has to be a distinction between the two. Human justice is founded upon this, the idea that people get what they deserve, right? You steal something, your hand gets cut off. Okay, luckily we don't have that anymore. Okay, at least not now. Maybe in 2018 we will, right? But man's justice says people get what they deserve. If there's a boundary that's been violated, okay, set by society's laws or whatever, that person pays a debt to the society. They have to give back. That is man's justice. There is nothing wrong with man's justice. That's how our society works. There's certain things that you reap what you sow. You do the crime, you pay the time. Okay, that is we understand man's justice. Okay, there's consequence for sins and action. Okay, but the way that the kingdom of God works when it comes to justice is a little bit differently. Okay, under God's justice, the question is not whether people get what they deserve. It's Because God doesn't want bad people to get punished and good people to get rewarded. Okay, so it doesn't, God's justice has nothing to do with whether we get what we deserve, because here's the fact, I didn't get what I deserved. I deserved hell. I deserved separation from God. I deserved what my flesh sowed. I deserved that. But know what? I didn't get that. And this morning, if you're in this and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you didn't get what you deserved either. We didn't get man's justice. We deserved all those things. We deserved punishment. We deserved separation. But we got God's justice. Okay, and here's what God's justice is. Because God wants everyone on this planet, God wants everyone in your family that doesn't know Him, He wants them to come to the full realization of who they are in His image. God wants them to walk in their destiny. God wants them to walk in their original design that He created them to walk in. That is God's desire for people that don't know Him. His desire isn't that they would get what they deserve, because He is a good, merciful God. Okay, God's justice has everything to do with getting in right alignment with how God created us to be. Because God, and we sang it this morning, He is worthy of our praise. Amen? He is, it says that all creation will praise Him. Okay, us doing that, us praising Him, is giving God the justice that He's deserved. Because He's worthy to be praised. So when we talk about God's justice, it's about giving people what's due them, not in man's eyes, but in God's eyes, according to His will. God's justice is right order in people's life. God's justice is that they would have a relationship with Him, and out of that relationship with Him, they would flourish, they would grow. That is what God's justice is all about. God's justice has nothing to do with them getting what they deserved. It's all about giving God what's His. Giving Him the praise. Giving Him your life. Giving Him your tomorrows. And like I say, to do justice requires a change of heart. Because I want to give people justice how I understand it. Man's justice. They get what they deserve. But God says, no, my justice is me getting what I deserve because I'm God. I created you. So I want to walk around seeing people come alive to their destiny, come alive to their calling, come alive to God's design for their life. Amen? Yeah. Number two. I could stay all day on number one. I could probably stay all day on number two as well. But the second thing that we're called, we want to be good. We're called to love mercy. Okay, this requires a change of lifestyle. Okay, the first one was a change of heart. Man, I got to have a heart change to see justice different in my mind. The second is a lifestyle change. Because you and I are called to be people who love mercy. I love half of mercy. I love receiving mercy, right? Please be merciful on me and my shortcomings. I love that part. But when I'm on the other end and I'm supposed to give mercy away to people that have wronged me, well, baby, it's time for justice now, right? Yeah. It's time to show them some justice. No, we're called to love mercy. Here's what I know this morning is you cannot have God's justice without loving mercy. It is impossible to have godly justice and not love mercy. You cannot have both of them. To operate in justice alone will cause us to live a life of judgment. Right? If I only operate in justice, I will slowly but surely view everything and have a judgmental spirit when it comes to how I relate with other people. You have to, if you want God's justice, you have to love mercy. So to operate in justice alone will cause you to live a life of judgment, but a life of mercy, listen to this, without justice will lead to lawlessness and carelessness. So if I'm just merciful to everyone, but there's no justice, it's not going to be a good thing. Okay? Because it'll turn into a free-for-all. It'll turn into lawlessness. There'll be no truth. There'll be no right place. That's why we need to carry out justice, but we need to love mercy in that process. Okay, mercy is not a free pass to get whatever. You know, I didn't get what I deserved. Oh, thank God. It's, I can just keep living how I want to live. But us walking in mercy with others is extending to them the same level of love and mercy that we've received from our Heavenly Father and extending that to those on this earth. It's taking that same, you didn't get what you deserved, and offering that to those that we're coming to contact with in our lives. Because here's the thing, justice can be cold. Right? Justice can be harsh. But to love mercy is to really carry out justice. When you are carrying justice out in your life, you are loving mercy. Because justice has to be filtered through the eyes of mercy. Okay, we know mercy. We get the same words, kindness, benevolence, charity. Right, giving things to people that they don't deserve. Okay, mercy is being willing to forgive the sins as God is willing to forgive our sins. Okay, that's loving mercy. What else here? There's a difference between holding back from people what they deserve and living a lifestyle that loves mercy. Because someone that loves mercy takes delight in giving people mercy. Doesn't just do it because they're supposed to do it, but they love it because they understand that's part of what God's called us to walk in. And again, I told you earlier, by nature, I'm more of a cause and effect type of person. But God wants us to be people that learn to truly love mercy and walk around showing others mercy. Another word for mercy is the word favor. God wants us to show favor to others. Why? Because we are favored. Because he showed favor to us. All right, number three, to walk humbly. Okay, seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. Okay, to walk in humility, you have to have a correct view of how you see yourself. Right? You cannot be humble but have a false view on how you see yourself. Yeah, right. It doesn't work because the Bible says, and Paul reminded us, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. I don't know what it is about humans, but we think really good about ourselves. Right? Like, have you ever, like, had a view on yourself and then ask someone what their opinion of you is and it's like completely different? For some reason, I see myself as dashing and charming and people are like, you're kind of dry. Okay, something's missing. Okay, but to walk in humility, you have to view yourself correctly of how God sees you and how you're supposed to relate with others. Okay, it's a change of disposition, right? How you view yourself, your character, your mind. Okay, the word disposition has everything to do with how things are arranged, how things are in order. To walk humbly with God, we have to continually submit to who he is in our lives. We have to continually remember where we came from. We have to continually remember that we at one time were the objects of what? The Bible says we were the objects of his wrath. So we have to continually remember that we are here and God is here. And we are to continually remember that God has put us on this earth to love mercy when it comes to other people. We are called to carry that out. It has everything to do with how we view ourselves. Hey, Steve, would you come up this morning? Oh, man. I set a timer this morning for myself because we have communion at the end. There's my timer. Steve, would you come up and worship team, if they're going to come as well? They're just going to play, and then we're going to take communion in a minute. The Bible defines good, as he did in Barnabas, as being full of the Holy Spirit and being a man of faith. You know, I can't walk in justice. I can't love mercy. I can't see myself correctly how God sees me if I don't open my life to the Spirit's influence. If I don't continually say, Holy Spirit, would you move through me? Would you take over? I cannot love mercy in my flesh. It has to be something of faith. You catch me this morning? I can't do it. That's why the gospel is more than a list of do's and don'ts. Because I can't operate in God's justice in my flesh. I can't operate in His mercy on my own. Because I wasn't called to. Right? We weren't called to do it in our flesh. Because we can't, as the Bible says in Romans, in it dashed all your dreams, you can't be good on your own. Okay, our quest for good will come when we are full of the Holy Spirit, when we are full of faith, and when we are walking in those attributes with His leading and His guiding. Would you, the guys that are going to do communion, Pastor Ryan can help you, but you guys can start serving communion. And you guys can listen to me for a little longer, but communion, and again, I don't think it's coincidence that we're doing communion today, but communion is a sign of nourishment. Okay, when we take communion, it's us being nourished by what Jesus has done on the cross. It's us partaking with who He is. Thank you, guys. And as we're nourished in the flesh, in the natural, when we eat, we grow. When we eat, we're strengthened. So this morning, as we're taking communion, we're saying, God, we need You to strengthen us. God, we're looking to You for nourishment. God, this year, if we want to do good, Father, we're looking to You to nourish us, to strengthen us, to be fruitful. This morning, I want to encourage us when it comes to communion that God knows right where you're at in your quest. God knows if your year's been hard or your year's been good. But as we take communion and as we are looking to the Lord to nourish us, God knows right where you're at. And God wants you and He wants me to bear fruit in our lives right where we're at. I don't know if you do this, but sometimes I think God will want me to bear fruit once I'm in a different place. But God says, no, I want you to bear fruit right now. And part of us doing that is us finding our strength in Him. Because when we identify ourselves with who He is, and even communion, as we are being nourished by Him, you know what? He's going to give us His provision. He's going to give us His strength. He's going to give us His mind to do good, to be right. You know, partaking of the things that Jesus has to offer, it's an exercise of our faith. It's an exercise for us to grow, right? Because I've never taken communion once and all of a sudden just been completely different. It's been a growth process. It's been like exercising. As I continually find my source in Him, I'm satisfied. And so that's my prayer for us this morning when it's our quest to do good, is that this year we would be more full of the Holy Spirit than we've ever been, and that we as people would operate in faith like we never have before. Because here's the reality, and Pastor Ryan said it a little bit earlier, is in our flesh, I don't want to do good. In my flesh, I want to operate in man's justice, not God's justice. In my flesh, I don't want to love mercy. In my flesh, I want to view myself how I want to view myself, not how God sees me. Oh, thank you. I was waiting for it here, but it's been sitting here. Awesome. Would you stand up with me this morning as we conclude? As we come to the Lord and say, God, would you nourish us? Father, would you give us the strength to seek justice, to love mercy, to walk in humility? As we step out in faith in this new year, God, would you meet us? That's why we're doing communion. Because we're saying, God, we need to be nourished by you. So on that night that Jesus broke bread with his disciples, I believe he looked at them, he took the bread, and he said, this is my body that's been broken for you. Take it and remember what my body's done for you. And so this morning, let's be nourished by what Jesus has done already. Let's partake of the bread. And then shortly after that, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is a representation of my blood. My precious blood that was poured out for you. It's because of his blood that we received the mercy of God. It's because of his blood that we didn't get what we deserved. It's because of his blood that there's a new definition of justice. And it has everything to do with you walking in the fullness of what God has for you. So let's remember his blood this morning, of what it's done in our life. Let's partake. Lord, thank you. Father, thank you this morning for your blood. Thank you this morning for your nourishment. Father, thank you this morning for your infilling of your Holy Spirit. Father, that you want to equip us, that you want to strengthen us. Father, we honor you this morning. Come on, let's sing. Lead us this morning, Steve.
Sing, oh, how I need your grace. Oh, how I need your grace. More than my words can say. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. In all my weaknesses, you are my confidence. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. And I will rise, stand redeemed. Heaven open over me. To your name, eternally, endless glory. I will rise, stand redeemed, heaven open over me, to your name, eternally, endless glory. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. Thank you. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. I will rise, stand redeemed. Heaven open over me to your name. Eternally, endless glory I will bring. I will rise, stand redeemed. Heaven open over me to your name. Eternally, endless glory. Let's sing, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just as I am, I come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh what amazing love.
So Father, this morning as we go, Father, as we stand on the edge of a year ending and looking ahead, Father, we confess this morning, Father, that we want to be more full of your Spirit. Father, and we want to be people of faith. Father, that we want to do the things that you've called us to do and when it comes to relating with people. Father, I pray that you would give us a greater measure of your heart, a greater measure of your perspective, a greater measure, Father, of your mind as we live out this life you've called us to. So, Father, I bless everyone here today. Father, would they encounter you this year in a whole new way. This morning, if you need prayer, we're going to dismiss. But if you need prayer this morning, I just want to invite you to come up afterwards. There's some people that want to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus this morning as your Savior, man, He wants to meet you. He wants to encounter you. And He wants to take your life and He wants to absolutely transform it. And He wants to take you on an adventure. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, I'd love to talk to you after the service. And I'd like to introduce you to who Jesus is. And with that, it's been a good year, church, but I'm excited for the things that God has in store. Amen. So you are dismissed. You can go. Again, if you need prayer, come up, and we'll see you next year.